Okay. They say Parshas Bamidbar. It's a very, very interesting parasha. Seemingly a bunch of numbers that it's very difficult to learn from. If you work through it carefully, it's a very, very fascinating limudim. We can learn from Poshut, working through the Pesukim carefully. The parasha starts off with a command in Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis. Se'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael mishpachos on beis avosam. Se'u is the command to count Klal Yisrael. The mishpachos on beis avosam b'mispa shemas kol zoch l'gul galosam. And Moshe Rabbeinu is told to count from 20 to 60. Kol Yisrael b'Yisrael. And these are the people who should be counted. Reuven, etc. etc. Go through the whole list. Okay. So Moshe and Moshe Feinstein primarily, and many of the other Gedolim explain that Parshas Bamidbar is specifically and intentionally put before, is a parsha read before Shavuos, always counted before Shavuos. This you happen to have not so Bamidbar. No, it's parsha before Shavuos, directly before Shavuos. Why? He said it's very difficult for a person to realize and to appreciate why they should be Mekabel the Torah. How they can be Mekabel the Torah? Who am I? What am I supposed to do in order to work myself in this kind of sphere to appreciate my job, my tachlis in these days of sphere? Says Reb Moshe that Moshe Rabbeinu was not told only to take Klal Yisrael and count them and put together a number, but Se'u is understanding. Se'u is translated as lift up, elevate, raise up, and by doing so, Moshe Rabbeinu was counting the regular Nebuch in Klal Yisrael together with the Gedolei Hador. Each one had the same number. Moshe Rabbeinu was a lady, he wasn't counted, but all the other Gedolim and the Nasiim, Nashim ben Aminadov, Kolev ben Yifune, were all counted the same number as a person standing right at the back of the room nobody even looks at. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to count Klal Yisrael in order to give them chashivus, or it's given an appreciation that every single person, however small they are, is a number, is a chiluk of Klal Yisrael, and that for every person got to work on themselves and appreciate that they are something special, that they have a particular tachlis that nobody else anywhere around the world at any generation has. This time they are living in order to fulfill a tachlis that is unique, nobody else can fill. So Se'uras Rosh Kladas B'nei Yisrael is appreciation, to lift up, to give them self-esteem, to help them appreciate that they are different, that they are special. The Baal Shem used to say that it says in the parasha that Klal Yisrael compared to the stars. See, so what's the idea of the stars? He said, if you look at the star, a star looks very minuscule, looks very, very ineffective from the distance. But if you look at it on a very powerful telescope, you realize that the stars, most of them are even larger than the sun itself. You've got to investigate, you've got to look into it properly. He said, you see a regular person in Klal Yisrael, he doesn't look very special. He looks okay, he looks like a nice guy, but it doesn't particularly strike you as being something special. Within Klal Yisrael, they're like the stars. The more you investigate a person, the more you look into them, and you see who they are, you see that they're something unique. You see that they have the power to shine out, the power to enlighten and to light up all the environment around them. That's the Se'u. The Se'u is appreciation before Shavuos, that we are here as a unique individual, that every single one of us has to take on Shavuos as a project to realize where my chelik is in the Torah, that I'm important to Klal Yisrael. How am I going to invest in myself and bring up Klal Yisrael in a way that's going to be very special? That's Se'u Rosh Kladas B'nei Yisrael. In Medrash it says, "Se'us Rosh Kladas B'nei Yisrael Mishpachosam LeBeis Avosam." So the Medrash says that when Klal Yisrael were receiving the Torah, that Umay Se'olam were very unhappy, and they felt that it was unfair that Klal Yisrael should receive the Torah. So Rabbeinu Shlomo said to them, "Fine, bring me your Seder Yuchsin. Bring me, show me where you come from. Show me what your lineage is. Show me where you're coming from, and I'm happy to give it to you too." And they all looked, and nobody found their Sefer Yichus. Nobody found where they came from, besides Klal Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Shlomo said, Klal Yisrael know where the Yichus comes from, they deserve to get the Torah, and Hashem gave them the Torah. The idea is, What is the concept of Kodesh Baruch Hu asking Klal Yisrael for the Sefer Yuchsin and they can bring it, Umis Oinu can't bring it? What's the idea behind that? And if the God did bring the Sefer Yichus, who's the Yichus? Esav or Rasha? Yishmael? And who's Klal Yisrael's Yichus? Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. I mean, so what? And if they did, could bring it, so what's the idea behind it? So that the Bala must say that a person only values, only remembers something that they want to remember. No, if many of us have been through school, and certain teachers, yeah, can't remember a single thing that they taught you. You ask them, you know, when you were 8 years old, whose class are you in? You can't even remember which teacher it was. And if you do remember which teacher, you can't remember a thing they taught you. True? Yeah? There's certain teachers that you actually remember a whole lot of stuff that they taught you. You think about it carefully, you remember things that they taught you. The lesson is that things that you remember is either because you enjoy the teacher or you enjoy the subject, or you enjoy both. Things that you want to remember is because you enjoy the subject matter. Things you don't really like to remember, unless it's traumatizing, you don't remember. Klal Yisrael, the fact that they have a Sefer Yichus is because they appreciate where they come from. They remembered who the fathers and grandfathers were because it was important to them. Since it was important to them, they remembered it. The Goyim, the Umay Sa'olam, it wasn't important to them, Bechlal, that they had fathers and grandfathers. Who are they? They're primitive. They're primitive people. We today are far more enlightened than they are. Therefore, why should you remember the past? And in fact, you know, cover it up. You go, you know, people never, you know, you get the refugees came over in the boats in America, and their fathers can barely speak English. And they end up snows in lower east side, and the sons make it, and they do very well, then they go to upper west side, and they sort of, you know, they're embarrassed of their father, and he's living in the old world, and they want nothing to do with their fathers. You know, the same thing happens, you know, with the Schwarzes, and they've got a father living in Harlem, and they can hit a ball better than anyone else, and they become very wealthy, and they forget about the past. They have nothing to do with it. It's all primitive. We're more enlightened than they are. In Klal Yisrael, exactly the opposite. We realize that we believe in reverse evolution. Klal Yisrael believe in reverse evolution, that we're actually turning into monkeys, and therefore the closer we go back, the previous generations were further away from being a monkey than we are today. And if we appreciate the previous generations more than we are today. The famous story with Yaakov Kamenetsky on the plane. You know the story? Yaakov Kamenetsky on the plane, and his grandson was respecting him so much, the person was amazed. He said, listen, you know, we believe that we come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You believe we come from monkeys. And therefore, you got to respect your parents in our religion. In your religion, you got to respect the kids, because they're further away from being a monkey. And therefore, we believe that Sefer Yichus is understanding that we appreciate and we realize that the Doris beforehand knew a lot more than we know. And we look back at them with respect, rather than look down at them in deriding ways, looking at them as primitive, Chas v'Shalom. That's why Klal Yisrael had a Sefer Yichus. And that's the only way that Klal Yisrael got chosen to receive the Torah, is because they appreciated that previous generations knew better than us. We don't Chas v'Shalom use Gedolei Torah as you know, advice, and do what we want to do. Gedolei Torah are the derech to appreciate and to realize the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's Rosh Kadosh B'nai Yisrael is appreciation, the base of Vosam is to know where we're coming from, to know where we're going. The only way to know where we're going is to know where we're coming from. The Pasuk says, that Klal Yisrael were counted, yet B'nai Levi were not counted. If you look in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Memtes, the Pasuk says, Ach es mate Levi le sifkoid, mate Levi you should not count, ve es roshom le siso, betoich b'nei Yisrael, and the heads you should not count, betoich b'nei Yisrael. Okay? So the Mefarshim ask, what's Peshat Ach es mate Levi le sifkoid, ve es roshom le siso, betoich b'nei Yisrael? What's the idea here, betoich b'nei Yisrael? What's the concept over here? You shouldn't count the heads, le siso, betoich b'nei Yisrael. Obviously, we're dealing with Klal Yisrael. So it's a very, very nice moshel I heard, and it's a story brought down from the Leisure Rav. Okay. The Leisure Rav. The Leisure Rav of Meisels. There's always a Leisure Rav in London. There's a Leisure Rav, Rav from Lodz. And it's called, you call it in English Lodz, but it's Lej. and he has a shul we call the Leisure Center, and there's a mikveh there, you know. Anyway, so there's a story with the Leisure Rav, Rav Meisels. His grandson is still today the Leisure Rav. He's also called Rav Meisels, and he came to a very, very wealthy man to collect for the Aniyim in town. And the day was ice cold. There was thick snow outside, and he came with his thick wool coat, his fur coat, with his Rabbanisha hat and his stick. And he comes and he trudges all the way through the snow to the doorstep of this wealthy man. And the wealthy man, he knocks on the door, and the housekeeper opens the door, and they see the Rav of the town is by the doorstep. He says, "Please come inside." "No, call me the Balabos." The Balabos comes, he runs to the door, and he sees a Rav standing there. He says, "Rebbe, come inside." He says, no, I'll talk to you here, it's fine." And he starts schmoozing to him, you know, "How are your children?" He says, "Rebbe, please come inside." No, I'm okay, fine, say that. "I don't want to come in, make your carpet dirty." And for 5 minutes, the wind is howling inside. This poor man is dressed in his dressing gown, and he's freezing cold. And the Rebbe is talking and talking and talking. Eventually the man says, "Listen, Rebbe, I can't anymore. Please, come inside. I don't mind if you make my whole carpet dirty, walking with a trample with your shoes. I don't care. Come inside, please." Rav said, "Okay, fine." He walked inside, beautiful, roaring fire. He sits down, and he said to him, "Rebbe, what are you here for?" He said, "I'm here to collect money for the few Aniyim in town." So he said, "Okay, so why didn't you tell me? Why you wait by the door? Why didn't you just come inside and tell me?" He says, no, "I'm waiting to collect for 5 families who need firewood for the whole of winter. Tell me about any firewood. And if you don't have firewood, never, they'll freeze to death. So I wanted you to stand by the door, to know what it's like to freeze for 5 minutes, and you have appreciation what it's like for these families to be there the whole of winter." So he understood, he gave him whatever it was, and he paid for the town. B'nai Levi are the Tamil Chachamim. The B'nai Levi are the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the people who are responsible for Klal Yisrael. It's very easy for a leader within a nation to be totally disconnected from the nation. The classic example is Marie Antoinette. Way you pronounce it, right?
Let them eat cake.
Yeah, exactly. Let them eat cake. Yeah, this is the French Revolution. They came and they said that people don't have any bread to eat. So let them eat cake. Yeah, those 4 words triggered off the French Revolution, where she eventually ended up with her head separated from her body. Yeah, in the guillotine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in the, where was it? In the the Bastille, wasn't it the Bastille?
They destroyed that place.
Well, the Bastille is still there in Paris today, but still thing there. But be that as it may, Marie Antoinette.
She
was a queen, the French queen,
Louis XIV.
She had nothing to do. She was totally disconnected from the regular people, and therefore that's the idea of B'nai Levi. B'nai Levi have to be B'toich B'nai Yisrael. A person who's leading Klal Yisrael, a person who's becoming the Rebbeim of Klal Yisrael, and becoming the leaders of Klal Yisrael, have to be B'toich B'nai Yisrael. They've got to be people who are within the dynamics, knowing what's going on, what the needs are, what has to be filled in, how people are relating, what yetzer hara people have, how difficult it is. The story of Rabbi Aryeh Levine was once in was walking down Rehov Yafo, and he managed to close down every shop. Every store of Yafo was closed on Erev Shabbos. There's one shop refused to close. So Ari Levine comes in after shul with his Shabbos clothes on, and he takes it. He comes into the shop on Friday night, and he takes a chair from the back and he sits down. And the person was very embarrassed. People coming in, see if Ari Levine start walking out. You know, the Rav, people knew who Ari Levine was. At the end of the evening, he said, "Rebbe, you know, what do you want?" Hello. He said, "I'm seeing how difficult it is for you to close your shop on Shabbos. I'm seeing people are coming in, you've got buyers, you're making money, I see how difficult it is. You know, for me just to say, close your shop, it's very easy for me to say that. I wanted to actually feel how difficult it is for you to close your shop. I know it's difficult. But still, Shabbos is Shabbos, what can I tell you?" So a man closed his shop. You know, you appreciate it. That's the Toich B'nai Yisrael. You've got to be connected. You know, you get people, unfortunately, I've got the curse of Nov and Nod Yebo Oretz. Now I've got to collect money. There are certain people, who are the secular people, until you get to them, they have barrier against barrier against barrier. You know, you can't even speak to them. You speak to the secretary, secretary, secretary. Vashalsov, Asher Mashalsov. Yeah, you know, and he's in Talmud Chochem, the person not in business at Talmud Chochem, you go to a Bliyashiv. It's difficult to get into him. If you've got some, you'll get into him. You run after him instead, you'll catch him. He's the Toich B'nai Yisrael. His appreciation, and he knows what's going on. He's not in a big gate, yeah, with guard dogs. And his limousine rolls up and he flashes the lights and doors open and he's got nothing to do with the suburbs. He knows what Klal Yisrael need. He knows what's necessary. He knows the Yetzer Sahoras. He knows what the drives are. That's Petoich B'nai Yisrael. We have to be aware, which means even with our own life, back to our families. Back to our families, it's very easy to be in yeshiva and talk about Shabbos and all the chumras. But when you go back to your family, you've got to be Petoich B'nai Yisrael. You've got to appreciate and you've got to realize what they're going through. You've got to realize that sometimes to have a family where one family member is from and the rest of the family are not from, what are they going through? Are they embarrassed of you? Make sure they're not embarrassed. Send them a beautiful bouquet of flowers for the birthday. They won't be embarrassed of you. This is for my son who's in yeshiva. That's Petoich B'nai Yisrael, realizing where you're coming from and appreciating that. That's the idea of B'nai Levi. The Pasha carries on. That's by the way why B'nai Levi, it says in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Zayin, "V'nosa oyel moed machne halavim b'toicha machnois, v'oyel moed machne halavim shvi b'toicha machnois, kashi yachnu keiniso ishali dey digleim." Which means that B'nai Levi, although they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, we would expect them to be leading in front, and the whole Klal Yisrael behind. So the Kosh Baruch Hu, no, that's not a leader. A leader is in the middle of Klal Yisrael, right there in the middle of Klal Yisrael, everyone around them knowing exactly what's going on, the people's sorrows, the people's needs, the people's yetzer haras, the people's yetzer tov, knowing exactly how they tick. That is how B'nai Levi is supposed to act. There's a very, very nice vort I saw. There's a medrash that says as follows. The medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by Kodesh Baruch Hu in Perik Beis Pasuk Beis, "Ish al diglo ba'oisei se beis avoisam yachnu b'nei Yisrael b'neged sovel oil moed yachnu." That Klal Yisrael have an obligation not stand to travel in the midbar, just to travel, but they have an obligation to travel in a form of degolim, in the form of flags, each one according to their own flag. And it says where it should be in Mizrach should be Machne Yehuda, and Yisachar, exactly where, how it should be. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbeinu Shleilam, all we're doing here is going to cause Machlekes. It's going to be Machlekes now. Who said Yehuda want to be in Kedmon Mizrach? Maybe you want to be in Sofen. And who said Reuven want to be together with Yisachar? Maybe they want to be with Reuven. Yeah, you're going to cause Machlekes, say he wants to do this, he wants to do that. It's not good. So the Rebbeinu Shleilam said to them, don't worry. They know what to do. They know how to go. They know how to travel. Why? Because when Yaakov Avinu, when he was leaving Mitzrayim on his final journey, when Yaakov Avinu was Nifta, the Yaakov Avinu organized the Shvatim around his bed, around his oin, exactly in that particular way. And therefore, they'll know where to go. They know how to stand from the Degel, according to how they stood around Yaakov Avinu's oin. That's how they stand in the midbar too. So I mean, what's very good. So they may still fight. I mean, what's the idea behind it? So I think the Rosh Yeshiva Skoki said the following vort, beautiful vort. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu was aware of something which is very, very evident. I was on the underground last week and in London, and it's a little bit hot, people, a little bit hotter than it is usually, and I was very, very surprised to see the English veneer, the good manners, totally dissipate with a bit of heat. Yeah, there's a woman trying to get off the underground, and the woman started to get on before she got off. You should have heard the expletives that were thrown backwards and forwards, you know, they called Kohol Ve'edo. You know, backwards and forwards, you know, the challenging the woman's pedigree, and it was quite, you know, in front of the whole, it was a packed bus, a packed underground, and they were yelling backwards and forwards. And I realised you got to scratch a little bit under the surface, and the behemoths, the mummish behemoths, a little bit of stress, a little bit harder than normal, and they start yelling and shouting at each other, much worse than any taxi driver in Tel Aviv. Yeah, much worse. And you think Israelis, it's not, it's a heat. Yeah, and you get the much worse. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbeinu Shlalom, it's very nice to have the veneer and the polish, and to have all the formal way of going, of travelling, the Reuven on this side, and Yehuda on that side, everyone going and nice. But what happens when there's stress? What happens when there's a bit of hunger? What happens when Klal Yisrael are going to go through a crisis where there's Mulchama? They all want to fall apart. Jesus is going to go here, and everyone's just going to jumble, mumble, jumble all over the place. It's going to be totally, it's going to be a complete balagan again. So what's the point of organising them? But the stress is all going to fall apart. Kosh Baruch says you're making a big mistake. You don't know Klal Yisrael. You don't know the power and the strength of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was machanech them in a time when the last of the Ovis was Nifta. And they were leaving to bury Yaakov Avinu. And they knew that straight after Yaakov Avinu would die, the Golus is beginning. And it's a terrible, terrible time. Yaakov Avinu had them all beautifully organized. They were carrying Yaakov Avinu's Oren in a beautifully organized fashion. Even in a time of stress, even in a time of difficulty, Klal Yisrael were walking out in a way with their heads held high, with dignity and with pride. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbeinu Shem, they'll fall apart. Rabbeinu Shem said, no, that's not my Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael have the power, even in times of difficulty, to hold, to retain their self-pride, and to retain a dignity, even in difficult times. And this is not something that only happened in the Midbar. That's something that happened generations and generations and generations later. How many stories we hear of the Holocaust, Rahman al-Itzlan, of Shavuos, of Sukkos, of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, how people kept their dignity. There's one particular story I want to say. Nebuchadnezzar, there's one person who knew that if you call to the commandant, if you call to the head of the concentration camp, there's no chance. That's it. It's a one-way journey. So when people call to the commandant, they would look around. They would look around their bunk, and if he had good shoes, and he saw someone with broken shoes, he'd take his pair of shoes off and change his shoes with the old broken shoes. He don't need shoes for very much longer. He had a good shirt, he'd change his shirt with somebody else. A pair of trousers, a belt. He'd change around and give away all his different things, his Yerusha, to his people in the bunk. A piece of bread. Oh, well, people used to think about a piece of bread. If I should eat the whole thing now, or should I eat half or later, should I keep it, should I not keep it? The whole Drishas and Chakir is about a piece of bread. But the whole head was in the piece of bread. Anyway, one person was called. He gave away his piece of bread to his friend. And he went to the commandant. And against all odds, he actually made it back. He made it back. And as soon as he came back, his friend ran out to him and said, I was hoping you'd come back. Here's your piece of bread back. And the other one took off his pair of shoes. Here's your shoes. Here's your belt. People who are living like animals. People who are living mamish next to them. Next morning, weren't sure the person was alive or dead. Literally, people in the same bunk next to them. Sometimes even the brothers and sisters. Nebuch. A story. Who was it? A story of a certain person who wasn't from. A certain person who was from. He went to a shiva house of somebody here in Tel Aviv. And he said to Mishnah, I'm only from today because of your father. He said, why? He said, when I was a child, in a concentration camp, and I was walking around, searching for a scrap of potato peel, or an onion peel, something. And your father was looking around too. And your father saw me, and he said, listen, I can't give you food. I haven't got food, I'm looking for food myself. One thing I can give you, I can give you a hug. I can give you a chizuk. We'll get out of this. We survived, people beforehand, we'll survive this too. And he said, this person, what, even with his dignity, looking around for a piece of food to eat, but he looked for the other person, and he kept his pride, and he gave over his warmth to a total stranger. That's what kept Klal Yisrael. That's what Diglehem. Each Klal Yisrael kept the dignity through the most difficult times. Klal Yisrael still living through difficult times, but they stay dignified, and they keep they don't become like, they have to like just intermarry out to become part of the nation. That is a Klal Yisrael, and that's a Klal Yisrael.
Thank you. Have you heard the story with Napoleon? He was marching and came past a certain town where the Yidden were in a Tisha B'Av, crying and crying and crying for the temple. He sent his soldier in, he says, go and find out what's going on over there. So they pulled one guy up and they said, well, what are you crying about? We lost the temple years ago, exactly, and came and the commandant came and told Napoleon, and he says, you know what, this people will never be able to destroy. But if they're still mourning 2,000 years ago, who are we? We just travelers along the way, leave them. And they left them and they went on to the next battle.
Yeah, that's Klal Yisrael. They've against all odds. The Parsha carries on. The Parsha says a very interesting pasuk. It says, that various different parts of Bnei Levi would carry different parts of the Mishkan. Some would carry the Kroshim, some would carry the Kalim. And it says over here, Perek Dalad Posuk Yudches. Vadav Hashem Moshe Vel Aaron Nemo. Al tachrisu eshevet mishpachos hakohos mitoi chalavim. Do not let the shevet of the kohos be wiped out from mitoi chalavim, from the toi chalavim. V'zeis asur lehem this way you should do, v'choyiv lo imusu, they should live and they shouldn't die. Begishtam el kodesh hakadoshim, al nevonov, yivoyi, v'som, etc, etc. Says Rashi, al tachrisu, al tigrumu lehem shimusu. That it should not cause that they should die. Why should Bnei Kohos die?
Okay.
They got exposed to the thing.
So the Medrash Rabbah says, He says that Bnei Kohos were the ones that were responsible to carry the Kli HaMikdash.
So who said this?
The Medrash Rabbah. The Bnei Kohos were the ones responsible to carry the Kalim. The Oroin, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach Ketura, the Kiyo. That was their job. Now, if you wanted Bnei Kohos, what would you like to carry?
Yeah,
Oren. Oren, come on. Oren is the most prestigious thing of Klal Yisrael. The Oren at Bris Hashanah is fantastic. Can you imagine? What's the Oren? I mean, what compared to a Kiyor? Wonderful. Other people are carrying just the curtains. But still, Oren's an Oren. So what can a person think? Gewaldig. Oh, Oren. You know, could be Moisen Nefesh for carrying the most Kodesh thing. What can happen? They start fighting. And they start pushing each other. You did it yesterday. You did it last week. It's my turn. How, you know, it's not fair. And they start getting very, very, you know, very frivolous and very lightheaded over fighting over this gewaldige schuss of carrying the Oren. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, just remember that when you're getting all involved in these gewaldige levels of kedusha and tahara and carrying the Oren Abris, just make sure that by doing so you don't kill yourself. Just make sure that when you're getting all involved in kedusha, by doing, you're not doing it in a way that is totally wiping out any schus you may have. Totally wiping out in a way that you're doing it in such a wrong way that you're just doing an aveira rather than doing a mitzvah. Some people get so involved in doing a mitzvah that they totally they forget an idea. Of Pam gives an example. So imagine a woman, a young married couple, and the wife prepares a beautiful supper for her husband. You got the roast chicken there, and you got the potatoes, and you got the carrots, all designed to be put in the oven. Husband come home at 6:30, so I'm going to put in the chicken at 5:45. That way, it'll be just warm enough. The time he comes home, it'll be fresh. You bring it too early, then it'll be already dried out. Put it in too late, then it won't be ready for him. Well, it's exactly on the watch. 5:45. She tells what she's doing. She puts the food in the oven. Anyway, she's very excited. 6:30. He doesn't turn up. 7:00, doesn't turn up. 7:30, doesn't turn up. 7:45, he rolls in. Ah! With a big smile on his face. Gewaldig. So, yeah, what happened? I did a gewaldige chesed. What chesed? Moshe needed a trip. He needed something to take him to the airport. Did a chesed for him. That's not a chesed. That's not a chesed. What you've done is you've totally destroyed your wife. She never. She could be depressed. She could be upset. She could be worried. Everything just because did a chesed on somebody else's cheshbon. That's not tachrisu. That you're kidding yourself on the sake of doing a mitzvah. The Alter Vision of the Rebbe, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, was once at a matzah bakery. Now, matzah bakery in Erev Pesach, things are very, you can get very nervous. Because if something becomes chometz, if it's too long, it becomes chometz, you've got chometz, you've got problems. Anyway, so the woman there who was rolling out the matzahs wasn't doing it fast enough. So one of the chassidim started yelling at her. So he said to this man, you should know, with chometz, a mashahu is asa. A mashahu is asa. But with kas, a mashahu of a mashahu is asa.
Who said this?
The Alter Vision Rebbe. The Vision Rebbe's father. A mashahu of a mashahu is asa. You have to know when you're doing a mitzvah, al tachrisu. Don't shoot yourself in the foot when you're doing a gvaldig mitzvah. Who was it? Rav Ruderman brought a story that he remembers when he was a child. There's a minhag to wear a kittel on a Shana Rabbah. On Shana Rabbah, the minute to wear the kittel. So it's something you don't always remember to bring a kittel to Shana Rabbah. Anyway, the shamash, who's not doesn't get the best job anyway, he forgets to bring the kittel to shul. And the chazan starts yelling at him. And screaming at him, how dare you, what's going on him? You know, yelling at his poor shamash, he's turning red, turning yellow, he's turning all different colours, his poor shamash. He thought to himself, what is it? It's a minhag. So, well, the kittel is a minhag, brought down very nice to remind you. But to embarrass somebody is ritzicha. Mamish Ritzicha is Mamish Echelik of one of the Horeb Valiavos. And yet, a person who's a priority. Al Tachrisi, you want to do a mitzvah, make sure it's not done on the expense of somebody else. I told you a story about this. A fellow was in shul, and his midget walked in. I told you a story?
No, I don't.
A fellow was in shul, and a midget walked in. A midget. So a fellow sees, he becomes very excited. How often do you get the opportunity to make a bracha on a midget? A bracha of Moshana Habrias. How often can you make the bracha of Moshana Habrias on a midget? So he takes his midget, and he picks him up and he walks him right to the front of the shul and right off his feet, and he makes the mamish with a voice of Shema Malchus so everyone can hear him, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Moshana Habrias, and he puts him down again. And he walks home and tells his wife, you know, Gavaldiga did a bracha today, how often do you make a Moshana Habrias on a midget? He came to shul with the opportunity that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me to make a bracha. You've killed this guy. Nebuch, do you think he has an easy life being a midget? You took him in front of shul and you embarrassed him, picked him off his feet because of your mitzvah. True story. This is a true story. Okay?
No way.
True story. Rapesa Kron said it, and he said, didn't say exactly where it happened, he said Be'erch, the Protim. This is a true story that happened. How stupid you can be. Al Tachrisu.
It was a dwarf last time.
A midget, same thing. Whatever. Midget, dwarf, same thing. I don't know. Is there a difference between a midget and a dwarf?
Dwarves come from the mountains.
This is referring to Al Tachrisu Shevet Mishpachis HaKohosim Mitoi Chalavim. That the Kohosim who are going to carry the Kalim, if they're going to start fighting over the Oren and start embarrassing each other, Al Tachrisu is going to wipe themselves out.
It's about if they start fighting.
That's what the Mishpach says about. This is an unbelievable vote. You know, that's what we have to remember. With all our Kedush and all our Tahara, you've got to remember that at the end of the day, you've got to be a mensch. And you don't, you know, there's a fellow that my Rosh Shiva used to tell me, Matsyo told me. There's one bracha in the yeshiva, in El Lapin's yeshiva, and he'd take a shtender, and the base mensch was above the dormitories. And he'd take a shtender, and he'd learn like this. And it's a tremendous masmid, this would go on to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So the bracha asks him underneath, do me a favour, you know, he's trying to sleep. So I'm learning, so he's trying to sleep. So he carried on doing it. So Rabbi Eli Lapin said nothing would come out from this boy. Taki became a secular Zionist, and he moved to Miller. Then Mamish, he went off Yiddishkeit completely. Al Tachrisu, you've got to know when you're doing a mitzvah, it's got to be done. Darcher Darchenoyan. If it's not Darcher Darchenoyan, it's not Rabbi Nishalim's mitzvah. That's the idea behind it.
The one I heard was this guy's learning Gemara about tzedakah. You should give tzedakah in all the different ways, and the one, someone knocks on the front door. He says, I'm busy. He knocks on the door, he says, please, I need help. I'm busy, what do you want? He's going through, back and forward, trying to get this in his head. Anyway, Guy knocks so loud he has to go. He says, what do you want? He says, please, I don't have any food. Maybe you have some tzedakah, you can help me. Guy says, I'm learning. Do you mind? You're disturbing me. Goes back and he just starts carrying on the halachas of tzedakah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
And I've done it a couple of times as well.
Well,
other things.
I know I have. Okay.
Is this carried brought down to Rashi that he explains it?
It's Medrash. Medrash Rabba says Medrash that. Drama. Yeah. Just want to say one last thing over here. It says in the Pasuk Vedaber B'shana Hashenis Hatesom. It talks about in a Perek Beis. I'll stop here. It says in the second year of Klal Yisrael, in the second year of Klal Yisrael going out, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to do the various different degolim. The shaila is why, if Klal Yisrael were in the midbar already a whole year, why is Moshe Rabbeinu told dafka to separate Klal Yisrael and to put them into various different divisions in the machnois and the degolim? In the second year, why it was not done in the first year? Very, very simple question. Which means the first year they all went together. The second year they split them into machnes, into degolim. Why not in the first year? So on that they say that in Yiddishkeit everyone has their own degol. The different degolim in Klal Yisrael. Some people more into Torah, some people more into Avodah, some people more into Yerushalayim, some people more into Lomda, some people more into Bekiyus. Everyone has their own chedek in Klal Yisrael. Everyone has their own shit in Klal Yisrael. And as far as they're working according to the Torah, as far as they're working how the Torah says it should be working, and you're basing yourself on Das Torah, it's all legitimate. It's legitimate. Okay, there's a Messiah, a person, if a father does one thing, you shouldn't do something else, because that's not your degel. Yeah, if a person is a person's working in the tanks, he can't suddenly the next day and go, say, you know what, I'm working in the Air Force. He's a deserter. I'm working in the same army. No. You're working in a tank, stay in the tanks. You want to go to desert, you want to come to the Air Force, you've got to go through, let's find out whether you're fitting. A person can't switch and change. A person's got to follow where their division is. A person with Ruvain can't go to Yehuda, and Yehuda can't go to Ruvain. Each one has their own degel. But Ruvain's degel is as choshev as Yehuda's degel. And Yehuda's degel is the same as Yisachon's vun, one's in business, one's learning. Just as choshev one another. Each one has their own degel. But the only time you can appreciate the golem that everyone has, their own derech, is only if you're surrounding a Mishkan. Only if you have a Mishkan in the core of Klal Yisrael, reminding Klal Yisrael that whatever they're doing is done and it's fine what they're doing, as long as they have, they're surrounding a core of Kedusha, that's okay. But until you have the Mishkan, I can't do what I want, you do what you want. Everyone, that becomes conservative Judaism. It's got to be a core where we circulate around, and as long as you don't deviate too far from that core, then we'll be doing okay. But we have to understand, we see Chassidus Yidden doing this, and we see Yekkers doing this, and we laugh at this person, you make fun of this person, and we're perfect, right? But Lamaisa, everyone has their own degel. Reuven has their own degel, so it's not your degel. Let's say a person is working in the tanks. He wears a particular beret. Well, he laughs at the guy working in the airports because he's got a different colour beret. Look, it's a good funny colour beret. That's your beret, that's his beret. If you wear his beret, you tuck it wrong. But the Maisa, that's your derech, that's your mahalach. Follow it. And Isha Deyu, Isha Machanev, Isha Digle, everyone has got their own derech. And as long as it's done dark in Noyam, it's done in the correct way. It's appreciation that you don't step on anybody else's feet when you're doing your mitzvah. Then Ezra Shem and Bainshim should give us the appreciation of who we are and come to Kabbalah Satorah in the correct way of Su'u.
Whose is this? Silver? No, it's okay. Should I stop it?
Yeah.
It's still going.